This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 93. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions and comments. 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up?
Hey, Craig. How's it going?
Yeah, same old, nothing's really changing.
Yeah, so before we started recording, we were just chatting about how you got a bunch of fan mail from around the world from your other gig online.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling a little jealous. I've got no fan mail.
The live stream community is a little bit different than the podcast community.
Gotcha.
So any podcaster, any people listening, you can send us fan mail if you want. It's up to you. But here's the address. Let's throw the address out there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Rockland, USA, 201 East Patrick Street, Suite 271, Frederick, Maryland, 21701. I'll put it in the show notes. There you
go. Okay.
And yeah. Christmas is coming. Amanda is needy. So it's coming up. So yeah, there you go.
Hey, speaking of savings.
But real quick, someone sent me Vegemite. And I'll be happy to send that down to you. I don't even know what Vegemite is. What?
That's a hard pass here.
I tasted some of it live on webcam, and I wasn't faking it. I thought I was going to vomit. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it is.
Are you supposed to heat it up or anything?
I have no idea. They said in the chat room, you have to acquire a taste for it. I'm like, if I have to acquire a taste for it, I ain't eat it.
Yeah.
I'm not into that acquire thing. Anyway, what were you saying about savvy savings?
Oh, I was saying that Thanksgiving is coming up.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, so I wanted to put a little bug in everyone's ear and make sure that they're budgeting for the expenses of dinner. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're not gathering in large groups because of the, pandemic that's going on. But, even if you're just staying within your own household, that's generally a special meal for people. So make sure that you have allocated to put extra money in that line item in your budget to pick up, the turkey, the stuffing, pie, whatever it is that you and your family enjoy on Thanksgiving.
Yep. And
people are surprised that their grocery bill goes up in November and December because of the holidays.
I would venture to say people's grocery bills have been higher during this pandemic, but they may have been eating out less. So I wonder if that balances out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or it might be vice versa. Some people are eating out more and having food delivered more than because they don't feel like going to the grocery store.
Do you ever use DoorDash and all those? Isn't that expensive? I've never used it.
I use Uber Eats very infrequently and only because we get a monthly credit with our credit card use. So once a month, we get $15 off, which usually just ends up covering the service charge because, yes, it's outrageous. You pay like $30 to have a $5 sandwich delivered from two blocks away.
Well, that's just stupid. Yeah. I don't mean to get on anybody, but I hear everybody using it all the time. I'm like, I don't have anything close enough where the food would be still good by the time I got here anyway. So,
yeah. And you remember I've talked about the app Ibotta before?
Yes.
That's that app where you scan, you identify items that you're going to purchase and then you scan your receipt afterwards.
Yeah.
Right now, they have this super cool deal that if you connect, they have a new Chrome add-on for Ibotta. If you connect your Walmart shopping account with the Ibotta add-on, you basically get a free Thanksgiving dinner. They're giving you cash back on all the main items for Thanksgiving, including Butterball turkey breast for $9.98. You get the entire $9.98 back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. So
turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, green beans, those little crispy French onions that go on the green beans. Yeah. Oh, I love those. Those are the best. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool for people that are looking for a way to save. So it's not an instant coupon. You still have to spend the money and then you get the money reimbursed to you into your Ibotta account. But it's a legit account. I cashed out $150 a couple of weeks ago for Home Depot and Lowe's gift cards because of the rental property that we purchased.
Nice.
And that's all just from things I normally buy and just, you know, go through the effort of tracking it in the Ibotta app.
Perfect. That's a great tip.
Yeah.
See, we started
so mark that as savvy savings.
There you
Craig.
Go. Right off the bat. Hey, we got six questions.
And I think excellent.
They're actually not that in-depth. I think we'll be able to go through these rather quickly. Here's number one. When do you become a millionaire? When you have $1 million in retirement accounts or total assets? I'm not anywhere close, but I'm just curious how you view it.
So it doesn't matter how he calculates it. He's not close, apparently.
Right. No. I think he just wants to know when he will be a millionaire. What does it take to be a millionaire? What is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. So most of the time,
really
people.
That's a great question, actually.
What was that?
It's a very great question, actually.
It is a good question. Yeah. So most of the time when people talk about millionaires, they mean that your net worth is $1 million or more. So that's a funny thing because it doesn't necessarily mean that you have $1 million in liquid assets. It could be that, you know, you have equity in a home or multiple homes. All of your assets together combined add up to more than $1 million. So that includes your retirement accounts, your savings, your checking, your home worth. But you do have to subtract any debt you have against those assets. So if you have a mortgage against your house, you don't get to say, oh, my house is worth $400,000. I'm halfway there to being a millionaire. If you have a mortgage that still has $350,000 left on it.
Right.
Then you really only have $50,000 in equity.
Right. And when you retire, people, if you have like a house that has a ton of equity and you have $400,000 in the bank, you can't really retire with that equity.
Right.
It's got to be either you move out, downsize or something like that, or build up more. Yeah. So, you're a millionaire,
so that's
but
why
you
it's
can't
like
retire
a weird
on it.
Thing.
Yeah.
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 But like if you read Chris Hogan's book, Everyday Millionaires, they're absolutely considering people with the full net worth reaching the status of millionaire. But me personally, I'm not going to consider myself a millionaire until my liquid accounts have a total of $1 million.
Yep. I think
and when I mean liquid, that's like savings, checking, IRAs, 401ks.
And if you do have that $1 million in the bank, however it is done, 401k, whatever, we always consider a 4% withdrawal rate. So that would be $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
That kind of, and a lot of people are like, wait a minute, that's only $40,000 a year? Yeah, because if you do it any faster, you could, may or may not, but you could actually drain it faster before you pass away. So you got to be careful.
Yeah. So you should be aiming for much more than $1 million if you want to retire comfortably.
Yeah, that's just a ballpark figure. There's a lot of other variables, but that's a very acceptable number. And you still need to keep money invested during that period. So it doesn't mean you just put in some zero fund, not make anything. You will drain it way faster. So it still has to be making some money during that time period.
Right.
So number two.
I mean, so, but I know you hate talking about it, but we do have a millionaire right here in our midst.
Who's that?
That would be you.
Yes. But I can't touch it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not, well, there's a couple factors. Number one, it still has to be taxed. So if I take away the tax out of it, it may or may not. I don't want to get too personal into it, but we'll leave it alone. But it's not in a Roth because I started that years ago. I'm starting to roll that over. It's a process because, it takes time to roll over that kind of money. And then beyond that, it's also in an account that I can't touch.
Yeah.
I'm only,
which is good and bad.
My 50s,
you're not
so.
you, Yeah. You can't have just like a midlife crisis and go buy a cherry red convertible.
Well, actually, one of the counts I can, because I retired from the fire department, based on the 457 and firefighters and police officers leaving early, we can touch that money without penalty.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another benefit of being public safety. But yeah. I am not using that benefit. I'm still treating it in my mind as I can't touch it.
Right.
Mentally.
The other interesting thing is, like in Everyday Millionaires, Chris Hogan's book, he also allows couples to consolidate their worth into one. So I think that's kind of cheating as well when you say your net worth combined for two people is $1 million. I don't know that that necessarily is a fair assessment. So I would say each, I mean, combined, maybe you have $2 million and then you can say, yeah, we're millionaires because some of them are probably joint accounts or whatever.
Right.
But otherwise, it should be $1 million per person to really be able to say that.
I totally agree with you. You know why? What happens later on after retirement?
I was just thinking, when you asked why, I was thinking because I'm always right.
Because when they're finally not working, everybody's at home at the same time in retirement, things don't go very well. Mm-hmm. Historically, they can't stand living together all the time. Someone either has to go back to work or they split up. And then what you thought you had, you don't, and now you're in trouble. We have a lot of people that listen that are currently in that situation.
Well, and just think about it. $1 million, like you said, a 4% draw rate, that would be $40,000 to support two people now. That doesn't really sound realistic.
Now, yeah, I'm in the camp of not agreeing with that. I think each person, it should be treated separately. I'm totally in agreement with that.
But not knocking it, because I know there are plenty of working families right now who are supporting families on $40,000 combined income a year. And it certainly is doable. And you can certainly have, a livable life on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next question. Number two, thoughts on warranties for used cars under 60,000 miles. The 60,000 mile warranty available to me is $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is I don't do warranties on cars.
Yeah.
Because typically the only one that is worth getting would be if it's from the actual manufacturer, like Nissan directly or Chevrolet or something like that. It's not done by third parties if you were to do one at all. But otherwise, any vehicle that's under 100,000 miles should not have any issues if it's fully inspected and checked by a mechanic. You should not have any problems.
Right. Unless it's like a BMW, they seem to fall apart pretty rapidly. Yeah.
Well, and that's part of buying a used car is you buy something reliable. If it's inspected by a mechanic and they say everything looks good, you should not have any problem with 60,000 miles or less. Nothing should go wrong.
So Craig raises a number of great points here. One, I know everyone keeps getting these phone calls warning your warranty is about to expire. I need to speak with the owner of such and such vehicle. Most of those are scams, people. Yes. So hang up immediately and block the number. If you are getting the pitch from your dealership because you're bringing it in on your last, let's say you had a prepaid service plan or that was included in your warranties and it's your last time you're seeing your service advisor before that expires, you know, they're going to give you that pitch. That's their job. But as Craig said, it's not necessarily really worth its money. I made that mistake once and you think you're getting a good deal, but it's not the same warranty as the new car warranty. There are a ton of exclusions and there's also a copay like you have with your medical expenses. There's going to be a higher copay. Right. So I don't think it's really worth it. What I'm trying to say. You should instead be putting that money into your emergency fund so you can cover any unexpected surprises out of pocket.
Yeah, I'm totally against them.
And 60,000 miles is one of those really big tune-ups on your car. So you can expect to pay between $1,000 and $1,500 for that regular maintenance on your car at 60,000 miles. And that'll give you another 30,000 miles generally before you have to have another major tune-up.
Yep. And always
but that's an expensive one. 60,000 miles. I just had that.
Oof.
And then my husband's close to the 90,000 mile one. And yeah, it's between $1,000 and $1,500, but you had to do the maintenance. Otherwise you're going to be kicking yourself when your car starts falling apart and it costs you way more on the back end.
When I worked at a radio station, there was a weekend show that I was helped working with. It was one of those auto shows where it was an auto mechanic and he did those morning answers where people love calling in about their cars. And they are really against this sort of thing. And this is a guy that owns a chain of auto mechanic shops. And he would always talk about all this. Like, and one thing a lot of people don't do is your manual, your auto manual has the schedule right in there.
Yes.
You're going to have a lot of mechanics tell you something completely different. Like when you go do your oil change, like Jiffy Lube or something, they'll come up with something. Always look at what the manual actually says from the manufacturer. Go by that. Don't go by what someone else is saying. Don't do your
well. And we talked about that before in one of our Savvy Savings segments on automobiles. The recommendation on oil changes is really outdated. Came along. I think the recommendation is like 3,000 miles. That came from a time when the viscosity in oil was not nearly as sophisticated as it is nowadays. Yeah. So generally you can go much longer than that. And if you get synthetic, it's even longer. Like my car only needs oil change every 10,000 miles or a certain period of time. And depending on your climate as well, that's another factor. Yep. But so those are big deals. The other thing I would say is make sure you're working with a reputable auto mechanic. And I would shy away from the dealerships. And here's why. You go to the dealership, you're going to get dealership pricing. Mm-hmm. It's always, always, always more. Find a really reputable local car shop that you can trust and take your car there. Here's a real life example. Recently, my husband took in his truck to get an oil change and just kind of get a once over, do the whatever it is, 30 point inspection or whatever. I don't know how many points it is. And they came back saying, well, you need a new water pump and it's going to be like $3,000 or $1,500. I don't know. And he's like, no thanks. Yeah. I'm going to take it somewhere else. And we took it somewhere else. They did the same type of inspection, however many points it is. I don't know, 30, 50, 100. Right. I don't know. And came back and said, did someone show you a leak in your water pump? He's like, no, they just said I needed one. He's like, your water pump is fine. We tested it vigorously because you specifically said you needed a new water pump. And they're like, there's nothing wrong with your water pump.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just one example. And frankly, that shop could have just replaced the water pump because he asked to get a new water pump, right? But they were very honest and they did it for free. They didn't make any money that day because of it. So now they've got like a customer for life.
Yep. And you know what? Those kind of businesses will actually do better anyway, long term.
Yeah. And I like to support local mom and pop shops anyway, because, you know, it's support your community.
Yep. Number three. I'm in the early process of refinancing to a 15-year mortgage. They offered a 2.5% interest rate and advised that I'd have to pay an extra $4,000 or so to buy the interest down to 2%. Is this typical? Is 2.5 okay? Or should I keep shopping? I really don't want multiple companies pulling my credit.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. So let's take it sentence at a time. So congratulations on refinancing to a 15-year mortgage. I'm assuming that means you're on a 30-year mortgage now and you have more than 15 years left to pay on it. Otherwise, you don't get a congratulations from me. If they're offering you 2.5% interest, is that more than 1% lower than what you're currently paying? Then it's a good idea to refinance. Should you pay points to buy down interest? Absolutely not. No, no, no. I would not spend $4,000 to buy. Because when you say you're buying down interest, it just means you're prepaying the interest. It's still a 2.5% interest rate. You're just prepaying some of that interest so that you get to see 2% over the remaining life.
Gotcha.
It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But now you're out another $4,000 now that you could be putting towards your baby steps.
2.5 is really good.
2.5 is great. I mean, yeah, for a car loan, yeah, it's great.
No, that's a house.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mortgage. Yes. Well, it's mortgage. Still a great rate. Yes.
I mean, you're now getting down pretty low. I mean, come on. They're basically giving it to you at this point.
Yeah. I certainly seriously. Wouldn't complain about 2.5.
Did you ever think in your lifetime you would hear these rates of 2%, 2.5? I mean, no. this is nuts.
I know. It's actually starting to tempt me to refinance, but I know I'm only going to be here another year and a half. So it's one of those things we've always said, if you're going to refinance, you should be planning to stay in your home for another 5 years to make it worth it. Because not only are these fees like points and all that, but you do have closing cost fees. And sometimes you have to do a new appraisal. Sometimes you don't, depending on the type of loan you have. And if you're staying with your current lender. And then the last question here, where he or she says, I really don't want multiple companies pulling my credit. I get that. That's a concern. But if, as long as you're doing your shopping around within a 30-day period, it only counts as one hard pull, because the credit companies expect that savvy individuals are going to do comparison shopping.
Right. And then make sure you lock your credit back down after you're done doing this. It should always be frozen.
Yeah. So does that make sense? Don't pay points.
Yeah. Just be happy with 2.5. You'll be fine.
And over a 15-year mortgage, and assuming you're actually going to pay it sooner than 15 years, because that's your goal, right? Yeah. It's really not going to be that big of a difference.
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. We have a question coming up about the best way to invest during retirement. Something about legal insurance. Ooh, lawyer. There you go. And then also something about fixed index annuities. I'm trying to calm down right now about it, but we'll get back right there. So you're listening to Rock on the Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect. Amanda.
Yeah.
None. We have 3 more questions. Here's an easy one. What is the best way to invest after reaching retirement age? That's kind of circumstantial, though.
It is.
So I think the best way to do is we just do the general thing we do for coaching. But everybody's going to be completely different, because we don't know how much you've saved up to that point. 70% of Americans do not have enough money to retire. So that's a whole different subject. Then you have the 30% who do have money saved, and then the 20% that actually did save the $1 million or more. That's the general breakdown of how it works. Most people, 70%, can't cover even emergency, a $500 emergency or something like that, even at that age. So it's pretty sad. So we're just going to do the general thing. So what we say is, when you get towards retirement age, if you're in like a 401k, you're just in general mutual funds. We're not talking about stocks or anything else. We're just talking about your mutual funds, your retirement plans, IRAs, 401ks, whether it's Roth, traditional, whatever. You need to start slowing down when you're within 10 years.
Right.
And that.
And that's to protect your nest egg from any wild downturns in the market.
And the reason that 10-year number is there is typically if there's a major downturn, it can take up to 10 years to recover historically. It's just a protection number. It could be shorter, it could be longer, but on average, if there's a major decline, say what, 2008, 2009, it could take 10 years to bring that back. So that's why you need to back it out of the market a little bit. And the easiest way to do that, this is just a general blanket statement, 40,000 feet, is a target date fund based on the year you're going to retire, because it will automatically back you out enough out of the stock market and somewhat into some bonds. It diversifies for you and it will help protect you. But at the same time, it will keep making money. Very general advice. You have anything to add to that?
No, I think you've covered it.
Yeah, just very general advice because everybody's going to be different.
What I wouldn't do, though, is stick it in just a savings account or a stable fund that's earning nothing.
No, you have to keep making money. Just like when you're doing that 4% withdrawal rate we talked about earlier. I have a lot of friends that have money in stable because they're afraid of losing money. I'm like, if you are in stable fund, you actually are losing money because the value of that dollar is declining with the inflation rate. You're actually losing. Or you're staying the same. You're not getting anywhere. You will not have any money in retirement. It will run out. It will run out. Number five. I mean, they have 100% in the stable value because they're afraid of a market crash. I'm like, no, stop. Number five, we have the option now at work to enroll in legal insurance. Any thoughts on this? Worth it or not?
Yeah, so here's what my thought is. It's one of these mirage type benefits that your HR person thinks is, oh, look, we can offer another benefit and it's so great for you, employee. I think it's garbage. I mean, it falls in line with how I feel about pet insurance. You pay a high premium every month for something that really isn't all that likely to happen to most people. But we do have emergency funds for it. But some of the disadvantages of legal insurance is that they have the option to deny claims or pay slowly. And guess what? If you have a legal crisis, your lawyer wants money up front. They're not going to wait a month or 2 months before they get paid because they're not going to work on your case until they get paid. So if you're okay waiting for reimbursement, then maybe that's something to take into consideration. But it means it's like a savings account, right? You've prepaid all this money into, and I'm using air quotes here, an insurance fund, but it's basically like having an emergency fund just for legal fees that you're paying a monthly premium towards, whereas you could put that so-called premium into your own savings account and self-insure instead.
There you go.
Have you been personally sued, Craig?
No.
Yeah.
And here's because of what you just asked. This is what I would say. Number one, we don't prepay anything, even burial stuff. We don't prepay anything. I would rather them go to their homeowner's insurance and get an umbrella policy.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how you protect your assets, is an umbrella policy. That should take care of any of the, what, like a dog biting your neighbor or like tripping over a rock or somebody's, is that what you're trying to get at? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So I understand the one thing that does raise legal fees for probably half of America since, well, I think the divorce rate is declining, but divorces can be very expensive if it's contentious. That would be one thing that if that's something that is in your horizon, I don't know that I'd look into the, I would look into the insurance, I guess is all I'm saying. I might look at it and see what it covers and what it doesn't. I'm certainly not an expert in legal insurance because I just don't look into it.
Yeah. The Ramsey coaching is they're against it. But like you said, check into it. Read reviews, unbiased reviews. A lot of these reviews you find on the internet are actually by the company planted on the internet. You got to really dig to find honest reviews nowadays. A lot of people are getting paid to say things. I'm always offered money to get a product and do a positive review. It happens daily now.
Yeah.
It is so fake out there. It's disgusting. Yeah. I don't trust anything.
So, I mean, but even for a divorce, the average cost of a divorce is just under $13,000. That's if it's contentious. If you're just like, hey, we're amicable and we're just going to divorce on our own, it's probably less than $1,000, you know, just to have someone draw up the papers and filing fees and all that. But an attorney can run between $100 and more than $400 an hour. And that's according to 2020 numbers. So it gives you an idea of basic fees, but obviously it can get far more complicated and expensive if there are huge disputes or it's really drawn out. But just think, it doesn't really take that long to put $13,000 in a savings account. If you look at what the monthly fee would have been for your insurance policy, I would argue that you could instead put that money in a savings account and very quickly insure yourself and not have to go through the red tape of filing claims and hoping and praying that it's a covered item and that you will eventually get reimbursed.
Yeah, I just do the umbrella policy thing and it
yeah, really, I don't think that covers divorce.
No. I'm talking about anything, any lawsuits and stuff like that. It protects all my assets and it actually has a lot of power on it. So, the divorce thing, oof.
Yeah, I think actually legal insurance only covers, and I could be wrong, but I think it's more about covering limited coverage for uncontested divorce or legal advice over the phone. Some cases, it'll give you some legal representation or support with child custody issues. But again, these insurance companies are really slick in carving out exceptions. So you may think you're getting coverage, and then when the time and day comes, you're going to be really upset to find that, well, look at the small print. That's part of our exclusion. We don't provide coverage for that. And then you've just paid in all this policy money for nothing.
All right. And last question is, I'm thinking of switching one of my mutual fund accounts to fixed index annuities. Is it wise to have fixed index annuities in my portfolio?
This one has your name written all over it, Craig.
This will be the shortest answer. And the answer is no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And you know why?
But Craig, we were hoping to get a rant out of you.
No, you're not. They're not going to poke the bear on this one. The reason for that, guys, is the people that make all the money in selling these to you is 80% of the money that you're paying goes as a commission to the guy that sold it to you. It's super high with fees. It does not make the money that they're telling you because there is a little disclaimer on there. It makes nowhere near the money. You need to stick with the basics. The only people that believe in stuff are the ones that sell it because they're making a ton of money off you. Don't do it. It's a trap. Don't listen. They try and put the fear of God in you. Hey, Amanda, I've listened to these sales pitches and it sounds like I'm getting a timeshare. It's very similar. They throw the fear of the stock market crashing, all this in here, and people are like, oh my God, I need to protect money and they're going to promise me this much money every month while I'm in retirement. That's not how it works, guys. It's not. And they're putting the fear of God in you. That's not what happens in real life. Historically, don't do it. You do what you want. I'm never going to buy an index annuity or anything with the word annuity built into it. Zero. How about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. Ramsey's against it. Clark Howard's against it. I can't find anybody that's for it except for the people that sell it. I literally can't. I listen to a ton of podcasts out there. None of the actual people that give solid advice that don't sell the stuff are against it. The only ones that for it are the podcasts of where they actually sell the stuff. And they will praise that, make it, oh, it's the best thing ever. And there's a ton of commercials on TV for these things. Don't fall for it. It's a big money maker. That's why they're pushing them. Plain and simple. I got a little rantish there. Yeah. Is rantish a word?
I don't think so.
I just made it up. But I'm very adamant about this. And I have friends that are signing up for this stuff and they think I'm wrong. I'm like, you do you. You do you. But they're gonna find out later in life it's not gonna be you what they thought. So And the problem, Amanda, is they'll get the money, but they'll never know what they could have had. Is right. The problem because of the math. They'll think they did the right decision. Oh, look, I'm getting this check. But they won't realize how much they would have had over
time. Well, we run into the same problem with people arguing with you that Dodge and Cox is a great fund. People who have financial advisors, they just say, well, I'm doing really well. Yeah, well, everyone is doing well, but how does your well compare to the other well you could have had?
You've heard me rant about it. I hate it when people say, well, I've done well. What the heck does that mean? Show me numbers and compare to a basic S&P index. Are you above?
Especially in years when everyone is doing well.
Yeah, everybody's doing well, but that does not mean anything, guys. I hate that statement with a passion. I'm tired of hearing that name.
Now we've got a rant.
You pushed my button, but everybody says it. Oh, I'm doing well. What does that mean?
Yeah, my financial advisor is doing really well for me.
Yeah, okay. Let's look at your number and compare it to the index, a basic S&P index. Are you above or below? Plain and simple. If you're beating it, congrats.
Yeah. Simple. If you've got nothing to compare it to, you know, 0.01% savings account is doing well.
Right. The Ravens are playing really well. That's fine. Well, what's the score? Show me the scoreboard. What's the scoreboard at? Well, they're doing okay. Well, what's the score?
Yeah, they scored 7 points, but their opponent scored 49. Right. They're still doing well.
Right. Are you winning or not? And the index is what I use as my gauge. And that's what everybody else uses. Are you above or below that line?
See, I knew I could get a rant out of you.
But it's so simple, Amanda. I don't know why people make this complicated. It is literally simple, but everybody makes this complicated. It drives me nuts. I'm really passionate about that because people are just making dumb decisions, trying to do things and it doesn't work. You win. You got me to rant. But you know what I mean. You're in the same boat. Anyway, we really care about you guys. And we're not even selling you anything. You should be listening to us. Yeah, you know, we're not even selling you a course. We should be. Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a great one, Amanda. I actually went a little longer than I thought, but we had good answers. So we really got in depth into various topics, which we have not touched on in a long time. So that was really good. Yep. All right. Great show, Amanda. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.